I'm speaking today with Chula Ross Sanchez, who is running for Galveston City Council in District 6, correct?
Yes.
Chula, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Well, you know, after Hurricane Ike, well, I love Galveston. You know, I moved there in 1982 from Barcelona, downtown Barcelona, to downtown Galveston on 20th Street. And I've been very involved in the community over the years with our children in public school. My husband was working at UTMB, has been working at UTMB, and I've been head of many organizations, and lately part of the Planning Commission for 3 years until February. And after Ike, and I became so involved in helping people get back into their homes, and that I was in, as co-chair of the, I am co-chair of the Housing Outreach Committee. We've knocked on over 5,700 homes to get people to enroll in a recovery program. And I think that I became so energized about the people who stayed, just like myself. We had rebuilt our business, we lost our business. Had to live in Houston for till Christmas, and then we're lucky to get back. But they're helping people get back in their homes and talking to one family after another after another. I became so invigorated, I thought, well, I think I really have something to offer for the recovery, not just recovery, but to move beyond recovery. That's what inspired me to run, is meeting and talking to so many families and thinking this is the prime moment for Galveston to leap ahead into the 21st century. It's a lull economically, globally, and locally, and not so bad in Houston, Galveston areas, it's around the United States, but and then we're post-Ike, so we have a lot of federal recovery money, and I think we can be real smart with that money, or we can do business as usual.
Okay. Now, you said you spent 3 years with the Housing Commission. Tell me about what you did at Planning Commission. Tell me what you did and how you think that experience would benefit you on Galveston City Council.
Well, we reviewed over $1 billion worth of development and permitting in those 3 years. It was really the heyday, you know, this last heyday of building. Large developments. We review general land use plans for large developments with 200 homes or more. Some have been very controversial. We have one of those Beach to Bay from a Chicago group that really polarized the community. Then we have some really have had some really good inner city developments, smaller. Small scale, and then we had ongoing development on the East End, West End, new high rises on the East Beach. And so the Planning Commission typically sees permits for all of those. We developed new guidelines for building on the seawall regarding the height and the land used for basically for high rises. That are very, very close to the neighborhood, so we came to a consensus on how to protect the neighborhoods, but also to have responsible development on the seawall. And, you know, we just see all sorts of permits, from zoning changes to beachfront construction. That's always been a very contentious, it didn't have to be contentious, but it was when people wanted to build too close to the beach.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. Obviously, since Ike, the General Land Office drew a new, a new line as to where the beach is defined to be. You know, doing a little research on you before this interview, I came across an article in the Texas Observer in 2007 that was talking about beach erosion on Galveston and how you were kind of a bit of a dissenting voice on the Planning Commission where it came to some of the new development on the beach because of concerns about beach erosion. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yes. I've always felt like, you know, we love to enjoy the beach, all of us, and that's why we live in Galveston. And I grew up in Corpus Christi, where I went to Port Aransas, and I've seen the morphology of the Texas Gulf Coast, and we fly a little Cessna that we would fly up and down the Texas Gulf Coast. So I'm very familiar with the coastal morphology. And, you know, the beach is going to erode. We have a really high erosion rate on the west end of Galveston Island, but we want to live there. And so we need to find a reasonable way to build, be able to move those homes and when they get in harm's way, and pull back from the shore and not cost the taxpayers a lot of money like we just had millions of dollars of buyouts after Ike with federal funds. So we just last week passed a new setback for coastal construction, beachfront construction in Galveston, but it grandfathers all the existing plats. So it would just affect new development. There's very little of Galveston that's not developed on the front line, but I think we came to the table, developers, the city, planning commission, lots of community members, and it wasn't perfect. It's never going to be perfect, but we worked very hard with the GLO. And so we can't leave everything up to the GLO because they just defined the public beach. But the area between the public beach, which is the vegetation line or the part of the beach at which the public has become accustomed, or 200 feet from mean low tide, that's just the Open Beaches Act. But Galveston needs to decide for themselves what they want to do with their construction ordinances. And there's that area between the Open Beaches Act and construction setbacks that have to leave room for dunes to protect the land. So I've been a big advocate, and I'm very pleased the City Council passed that last week. We've joined Nueces County in really spearheading responsible development. It'll go into open comment and be out there for a year before it's actually adopted.
Okay. I mean, another thing I found when doing some research is you've been also an advocate for affordable housing in the wake of Ike. Obviously, there are a lot of abandoned buildings, abandoned homes in Galveston. There was a recent, survey that found actually fewer than was originally thought. But you know, how do you bring Galveston back in a way that attracts development and rebuilds its tax base, but in a way that doesn't price people out of living there?
Well, gosh, Charles, if I knew that, I would be not run for city council, but for queen.
I know, it's a hard question, but you know, sort of, you know, philosophically, what's the approach you want to take to to try to balance that out?
Well, just a couple of things. When you mentioned the abandoned homes, that survey did show that we have 1,000. I think there's more, but you know, the survey showed 1,000 abandoned homes, and those aren't boarded and maintained. Those are just 1,000 abandoned homes that people have walked away from, and we have about 1,000 lots that are empty. And if you could map all those, which we are doing, and you see those in a bird's eye view, you can see great opportunities, especially behind the seawall where taxes, insurance rates are not so high. It's easier to build the infrastructures there instead of building out west or east where we have to put in new infrastructure. So those are great opportunities for building. But who wants to come live there? Well, the other side of the coin is with our new surveys, is about 60% of the people, some say higher, but about 60% of the people who work on Galveston Island do not live there. And we, in the 80s, when we moved there, there were 67,000 people in Galveston. And now, with the new census, we have about, the guess is about 48, it could be as low as 45,000. And so, we have a real dilemma. We have jobs on the island, but they're being occupied by people who don't want to live there. What's the main reason? Well, what we've heard is in the survey that is paid for with recovery funds is they don't want to live there because of the neighborhoods. They're blighted. They're code enforcement. They seem unsafe, though our statistics aren't any different from Lake City and Dickinson and so forth. And we don't have affordable homes for the working class. They're looking for, the survey shows, they're looking for a house between $120,000 and $150,000. About 12,000 square foot, 1,500 square feet. And those houses in Galveston usually have porches, which is another added living space. So that's the market we really need to fill. Teachers, firemen, policemen. So they'll stay on the island. Another huge issue why they don't stay on the island is schools. We have a poor perception of our schools, though it's not always true, but nevertheless it's there. So I am an advocate for cleaning up the city, cleaning up the neighborhoods, really attacking the issue about the abandoned homes, making those neighborhoods safe, walkable, lively again or alive, and then making it so that people will want to stay in Galveston who work there, because $800,000 a year are just going over the bridge, over to the mainland. And how do we stop that? So that was really one of the reasons I'm running. Affordable housing, that's really a key issue. How are we going to do that? Building in Galveston, just if you take a baseline house, 1,200 square foot house, 1,500 square foot house, is going to cost you 15% more just in the building codes. And that's not because we have stringent building codes just because we want to. It's because of coastal construction. The windows have to be stronger. Our wind code is higher than on the mainland. So it costs you about 15% more just to get, and they have to be up above base flood elevation. And we have to compete with that. So how do we bring the market equivalent in Galveston for workforce housing, middle-income housing, equivalent to buying a house in Lamarck or League City? That's difficult. I see that we could leverage our funds. We can leverage some of the funds we have from the community development block grant funds and make these either acquire properties, some of these abandoned properties, and lower the price of some of the homes by some of the initial costs being lower, so that we can compete with the mainland for the price of homes. I think that's going to be key to getting people to live there.
Well, of course, insurance is an issue too. I mean, even if you can afford to buy a house in Galveston, it's expensive to have insurance. You have to have windstorm as well as flood. This is more a legislative issue than a city issue. But what would you, as a city council member, want the legislature to do to deal with the issue of windstorm and flood insurance for Galveston residents?
Well, for one thing, for example, wind codes. If TWIA, the Texas Wind Insurance Association, are looking at our houses and how we're building them. If we could say, I'm an advocate for building stronger, going to Dade County wind codes, that they build a higher standard, that would lower our insurance rate. Well, we would have to make those. We're doing our code rewrites right now. I mean, that would be something that we could look at right now. And those could possibly lower our insurance rates if we build stronger homes. We can allow plywood for covering on windows, for example. If they had to be actually mechanical fasteners for window covering or impact-resistant windows. There's some things that we could do that we could overall lower our insurance rates with our new construction codes. FEMA, the flood insurance that's, regulated by the federal government is a tougher question. I'm not really sure how to tackle that so much, except that we will be getting new FEMA maps. And that's going to really change the landscape of Galveston. It already did, in these neighborhoods that were platted in the 50s. Way too low, I admit. Slab on grade, many of them in the 50s. Post-World War II housing. Now in these neighborhoods, those were hurt really, really hard. The houses were washed away. Some of them were washed away. Many of them were washed away or damaged beyond 50%. And so now we have houses right next to each other. Some are, 10 feet in the air, 12 feet in the air, and some are down still on the ground because they've redone them. So it looks like a, snaggletooth piano up on a tin. And that is really changing the landscape of our neighborhoods. That has to do with the FEMA maps. And we're looking at probably the maps being 4 feet above what they are right now.
Okay. How would you assess the evacuation that took place in 2008, and what do you think Galveston learned from that going forward for the next time that has to happen?
I don't know if collectively Galveston they probably learned something, but I'm not really sure that I've seen policy change. I mean, I haven't. I know we're in that, but we're also facing the second hurricane season since Ike, and I don't think any major. There's been any major policy change, so we've just dodged two more bullets since. We're getting ready to dodge another one, but if we don't have anything different. I think the evacuation plan is basically probably in good shape. We have a lot of people who don't have cars, so that's a problem, but we had buses to get people off. The regional plan is not coordinated, as you saw with Rita, you know, so that still lacks fine-tuning. So we can get off the island, but we can't get beyond, and, you know, we're in that low spot between here and the Beltway, and people can't get beyond, so I mean, think about what could happen there is scary. Getting back on the island, I think the wait period was probably sufficient because of just safety, but then the emergency rule by the council, I think there were a lot of misunderstanding, and residents were frustrated. They lost a lot of their the value in their homes, just not being able to get back and clean them and clean them out. Some people were let on, some were not. It was a very ambiguous return. And I think that needs to be clarified.
Okay. You spoke earlier about the number of people who work on Galveston but don't live on Galveston. One thing that's going on right now is Galveston County is taking steps towards forming a rail district. With the eye towards eventually building a commuter rail line that could go to Houston and possibly points beyond. So with that, you might be able to have people who could live on Galveston and work elsewhere. What's your vision for commuter rail that goes down to Galveston?
Well, I am so for it. I really think that's going to be great for Galveston. I think I think there are a lot of people who would like to live in Galveston because of the lifestyle, because of the older homes, because of the beach, because of its proximity to nature. It's just, it's a great lifestyle. I mean, I love living there. And I think the people who, that age group, say the late 20s to early 40s, I know that group that's willing to go live in the Heights, I think they would come live in Galveston. And they may commute, read their newspaper or their brief on the way to downtown, but I think they would come live in Galveston. I really think it would open up Galveston to a whole new demographics and a new population to come in and maybe bring their families, and, or maybe not families, but come and live in these homes. I think it would just open up just a world of opportunities for Galveston.
Okay. A few years ago, the residents of Galveston voted on a proposal to change from its current all-district council representation to a, you know, four at-large and two, or the four district, two at-large style, but that was nixed by the Bush Justice Department. Any thought that Galveston should take that up with the Obama Justice Department and try it again?
Well, there is a lot of talk, especially in the forums, about the 421 plan. And with our loss of population, even let's just say about 45,000, if we went to four districts, and the two at large and the mayor, let's just say, then the same number, the districts would have about the same number of people that they have now. It's just that those two at large, and I'm learning this, this is a huge learning curve for me to run for the first time for public office, but I have a large geographic district, but I just have a district, so I have fewer cards to print, fewer doors to knock on, fewer people to reach. And so it's within a budget that I could manage. But I see that the mayor candidates running state, you know, island-wide, you have to have a lot more resources. So I see a 4-2-1, maybe that the districts will be of people who can afford those kind of races, whereas the people who are the two at large could be people who could afford a more ambitious race. And I look at it that way. I look at it that perhaps it would be nice. I really, I don't have really strong feelings. I have some very strong feelings about staggered terms. I think that we need to go to staggered terms. We have every 2 years, the entire city council and mayor is up for re-election. And it keeps a constant confusion. It's hard. It's a learning curve about the budget. I would like to see that we vote and have two 3-year terms. You can serve for 6 years. So I feel strongly about that. I really think that the districts, six districts, is manageable for a candidate. Galveston is in a very prosperous place. That small number of voters lets everybody run. And I think for right now, probably works. I don't think we need to be changing everything we're doing.
Okay. Galveston will be electing a new mayor this May. Ann Thomas is term limited out. How would you assess her term in office as mayor?
Well, I think we had great expectations of this mayor, of Lyanne. We really did. I mean, I certainly voted for her. I really thought great things would come of this, of these 6 years. And I think it's not been easy for anyone in public office with Ike. I wouldn't deal that blow to anyone or wish that on anyone. But I do believe these last 2 years have been a huge disappointment to the community. I'm really looking forward to a new mayor. I think that it's crucial that we see where we are in the 21st century and take the leap. We have got to take the leap over the fence. We're 10 years into the 21st century. We need to move forward. And not out of Galveston, not beyond what we are or who we are. It makes us so wonderful and special. But we have certainly got to look outside of our boundaries to what other municipalities on the coast and our size are doing, and not try to reinvent the wheel for everything we do. I'm really looking forward to working with a new administration, with a new group of council members, and I'm really hoping to move into the future and out of recovery.
Do you have a preference for who would be the next mayor of Galveston?
Well, we have some really good choices, and I mean, I love having choices. We have two terrific mayor candidates, Betty Massey and Joe Jaworski, and I think we'll probably go into a runoff. And I'm glad that we have the choices, and we have a lot of city council candidates too. So as the mayor said the other day at a forum, she said, "Get out and vote, and if you don't like who's elected, then don't complain." And that's one of the best things I've heard her say in a long time.
All right, and you know, early voting has started. When people go to vote in this election, why should they vote for you for District 6?
Well, I am out there. I am the advocate for the people, for neighborhoods, and for natural resources, Beach to Bay and Tip to Tip. I am a vote for moving forward out of recovery and into the future. And my opponent had her term. She's been there 6 years and another 11 months. And I think that she did a good job when she was there, but that's a long time ago, and she's had her chance. I really feel like a vote for me is a vote for the future.
Okay. Julia Ross Sanchez, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thank you, Charles.